Happy Saturday, New Vision Fellowship. This is Pastor Christina. I hope that you are all doing fabulous. We are nearing the end of May, almost to the halfway point of the year. And this year has been crazy so far. It has been a year filled with change and some trial and tribulation. One thing has not changed, though. God's love has remained constant. We cannot outrun him. We cannot outlove him. I certainly take so much comfort in that. This week has been a little odd for me. My husband started working on his new shift, so now he's on nights, and that means I feel like I never see him, because he's at work at night and he sleeps all day, and that's pretty much it. I wish I could say that the good news is that now I get the whole bed to myself. However, my husband's dog Remington is a little bit self-entitled and seems to think that the bed is actually all his, so I'm still only sleeping on a quarter of the bed. So much for all of my grand plans of taking over the whole thing. On top of his new work schedule, we are still distance learning with the kids for school. I hope that the teachers all over the country are prepared for all of the students to come back next year knowing the standard method for math instead of the new math, because that's all I've got, and I'm pretty sure the other moms my age are in the exact same boat. This week's sermon was supposed to be an easy one. Just a quick lesson on Paul. Nothing too taxing for my brain. God had other plans, as he frequently does. Sometimes I think that he likes to see if I can still think on my feet. I rewrote my sermon this morning, Saturday morning. The whole thing. All because I had a couple of weird dreams and a gut feeling. Thank you, God, I am indeed still capable of thinking on my feet. For tonight's message, we are going to start in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Here we find King David. He has just brought the Ark of the Covenant home to Jerusalem after it had been in Kiryat Yearim, also called Baala of Judah, which I've tried so many times to say both of those names, and I'm still pretty sure I messed them up. Let me know what you think. But if you remember back to week 15 of our reading through the Bible, the Ark was in Kiryat Yearim for 20 years, and now King David has brought it home to Jerusalem. So 1 Chronicles 17 verse 1 says, "When David settled in his palace, he summoned Nathan the prophet. 'Look,' David said, 'I am living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the Ark of the Lord's covenant is out there under a tent.' Nathan replied to David, 'Do whatever you have in mind, for God is with you.' But that same night, God said to Nathan, 'Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. You are not the one to build a house for me to live in. I have never lived in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until this very day. My home has always been a tent, moving from one place to another in a tabernacle. Yet no matter where I have gone with the Israelites, I have never once complained to Israel's leaders, the shepherds of my people. I have never asked them, 'Why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar house?' Pardon me. Now go and say to my servant David, 'This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies has declared. I took you from tending sheep in the pasture and selected you to be the leader of my people Israel.'" Remember, before David became king, he was just a little shepherd boy playing on his harp. "I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all your enemies before your eyes. Now I will make your name as famous as anyone who ever lived on the earth. And I will provide a homeland for my people Israel, planting them in a secure place where they will never be disturbed. Evil nations won't oppress them as they've done in the past, starting from the time I appoint judges to rule my people Israel. And I will defeat all your enemies. Furthermore, I declare that the Lord will build a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and join your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, one of your sons, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple, for me, and I will secure his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my favor from him as I took it from the one who ruled before you. I will confirm him as king over my house and my kingdom for all time, and his throne will be secure forever. So Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord had said in this vision. So now David, being the good king he is, looks at the tent that the Ark of the Covenant is currently resting in and decides that God needs more. He needs bigger. Odds are he was thinking something a bit more glamorous. God then says, listen, you need to tone it down a bit. That is not the job I had for you. Your descendant's going to do that. How often do we have plans where we say, oh, God needs this, or I need to do this for God, and then God comes along behind us and goes, actually, maybe a little different. So that's kind of what's going on here. David is making plans, and God is saying, not this time. Interestingly enough, Solomon, the son of David, and the ruler after David, did in fact build a temple. I, however, am of the opinion that this wasn't exactly the son that was talking about. We have to remember that Jesus also happens to be a descendant of David, and I feel like verses 12 through 14 could easily be talking about Jesus. It says, he is the one who will build a house, a temple for me, and I will secure his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my favor from him as I took it from the one who ruled before you. I will confirm him as king over my house and my kingdom for all time, and his throne will be secure forever. I can only think of one king of the Jews who has a throne which is secure forever, and he is in fact the King of Kings. And his house, God's house, stands, no matter where it's moved to. We are in a time of upheaval in the world. But I don't think that it has to be a time of upheaval for the house of God. Even though we currently cannot meet together in a building that has been designated as a church, we are still able to commune together virtually. We're still able to read our Bibles. We're still able to worship God. And I know that for some, that feels strange to worship God like this. To have church in your home. Imagine how the Israelites felt, having church outside of a tent, whether it was in the desert or in Jerusalem. I think that if King David can dance in the streets and worship God wherever, then so can we. Our hearts are what's meant to be his temple, not a building. So 1 Chronicles 17, verse 16, then goes on with King David's response. Then David went in and sat before the Lord and prayed, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And now, O God, in addition to everything else, you speak of giving your servant a lasting dynasty. You speak as though I were someone very great. O Lord God, what more can I say to you about the way you have honored me? You know what your servant is really like. For the sake of your servant, O Lord, and according to your will, you have done all these great things and have made them known. O Lord, there is no one like you. We have never even heard of another God like you. What other nation on earth is like your people, Israel? What other nation, O God, have you redeemed from slavery to be your own people? You made a great name for yourself when you redeemed your people from Egypt. You performed awesome miracles and drove out the nations that stood in their way. You chose Israel to be your very own people forever, and you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord, I am your servant. Do as you have promised concerning me and my family. May it be a promise that will last forever, and may your name be established and honored forever, so that everyone will say, the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, is Israel's God. And may the house of your servant David continue before you forever. David's house does indeed continue forever in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I kind of wonder if when David got to heaven, God said, oh boy, just you wait until you see what I have in store for your people. I feel like that would have been a very interesting interaction to watch, you know, watching everything unfold in history. You know, we're able to look back on it now and say, oh yeah, God said he's going to create this lasting dynasty from David's line. And, you know, David probably thought, oh, it's my son, you know, the immediate successor to me, whoever comes next, that's the king. That's the king of all kings. And in truth, you know, it was a little bit later down the line when it was a man who, a baby, who was born not in a palace, but in a manger. In verse 16, the first thing that King David says to the Lord is, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? I find myself asking this exact question on a regular basis lately. What could God possibly see in me that he would put me in a place of leadership in a church? That he would trust me to bring his word to people? Being insecure is probably one of my bigger faults. I question myself at almost every turn. At least that is until I stop and remember that God made me who I am. And questioning myself is a lot like telling God that he didn't really do a very good job of making me. Chapter 17, which I read for you, of 1 Chronicles, honestly reminds me a lot of many parts of my life. I question what I'm doing. Tell God that I need to do better, that my heart will be a better temple, and that I'm working on it. And then God turns around and tells me that he loves me as I am. That I'm just a tent instead of a fancy building, and he's okay with that. He reminds me that I am as he created, and that he has plans for me. The same is true for each one of you. God created the beautiful creation that you are. Whether you are a tent, a marble inlaid building, or just a piece of canvas over a rope, your heart is still a temple for God. Yes, it requires maintenance, regular check-ins and cleanings to make sure you're still following the path of Christ. But God loves you, faults and all. Psalm 132 from our reading this week goes right along with 1 Chronicles 17. It was written about this exact happening, but was meant to be a song for the pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. Beginning with verse 1, we hear, Lord, remember David and all that he suffered. He made a solemn promise to the Lord. He vowed to the mighty one of Israel, I will not go home. I will not let myself rest. I will not let my eyes sleep, nor close my eyelids in slumber, until I find a place to build a house for the Lord, a sanctuary for the mighty one of Israel. We heard that the ark was in Ephrathah. Again, I'm not very good with these names. Then we found it in the distant country of Jaar. Either that or it's pronounced Jar. Again, I apologize. Let us go to the sanctuary of the Lord. Let us worship at the footstool of his throne. Arise, O Lord, and enter your resting place, along with the ark, the symbol of your power. May your priests be clothed in godliness. May your loyal servants sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, Do not reject the king you have anointed. The Lord swore an oath to David with a promise he will never take back. I will place one of your descendants on your throne. If your descendants obey the terms of my covenant and the laws that I teach them, then your royal line will continue forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. He has desired it for his home. This is my resting place forever, he said. I will live here, for this is the home I desired. This is my resting place forever. Even though they were speaking of Jerusalem and Israel in this passage, I believe that it also applies to us, the body of the church, the heart of the church, our hearts. Whether our buildings are open again or not, we are still able to worship at the footstool of his throne. We are still able to bring him praise and love and honor and glory in everything that we do. It might look a little different than what most of us would like, but it's still praise. It's still worship, and God still loves it, because we are still bringing honor to him. We are still doing what we were created to do, to worship him, to spread the good news, to further his kingdom. I think it's very interesting that King David, who came from such humble beginnings, he was a shepherd. He hung out in a field with a bunch of sheep and his harp. He was the littlest brother. And yet, he became king and wanted to take the house that had been for God, this tent, this humble dwelling, and turn it into something magnificent. Something that he thought worthy of God. And God tells him, listen, this tent is worthy enough. Have I ever complained? We spend a lot of time being worried about the trappings of our church, the building. You know, what does our altar look like? What does our stage look like? What does our worship team look like? What do our pews look like? Is this a building with pews, or do we have chairs? Is it a big building? Is it a small building? Does it have great acoustics? But God was happy in his tent. We are meant to praise God in a house of worship, in a temple, in a church. We are meant to praise God in our hearts. Your heart is his temple. How is your heart looking? Does it need a quick cleaning? Even though God accepts and loves us as we are, I feel we should always make sure that we do take care of our temple. Keep our hearts thirsting after his word. Keep our hearts longing to be more like Christ. Keep our hearts aching to be closer to God. Keep it right for the Lord. Our temple doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to be his. Please join me in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I'm so very thankful that we are able to have your temple right in our heart, that we're able to worship you wherever we are, that you know that even though we're worshiping at home, we're worshiping you the same as we would in our church building. Because, Father God, we are the church. Your people are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are where your temple is. Father God, please fill your temples. fill these empty vessels. We know that your spirit and your love belong within our hearts and within our lives. And I just ask that, you know, as we're going through this week, we're really living out our lives as if we were a physical temple for you. Living out our lives so that everyone can see your love shining through us. Father God, as we go into a time of reflection, I just ask that if there is anywhere that we need help in cleaning up our temples for you, that you show us where it is, that you help us to figure out what we need to do to make it right, that you help us to go a little bit further and more than just love you, but worship you and praise you in our hearts as well. In our hearts and in our homes, in our daily lives, you know, if we are still among those who are able to go to work, praise God at work. Please help us to be able to do as much as we are able within your will. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the technology to be able to gather as we are. Thank you for the humble trapping that is my temple. Thank you for choosing me, God. Thank you for choosing your people. Father God, you are so good, and we love you, and we know that you love us. You are so amazing, and we are so thankful. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. I hope that you guys have a wonderful rest of your week. I hope that next week brings us a little bit more sunshine. And I pray that as you're going through your week, you are able to be okay with the temple that you have and be able to praise God within that temple. Worship God. You don't have to be in a specific building. Your heart is God's temple. Thank you for joining us this evening, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. God bless.